We'll call the April 6th meeting, Finance Committee, to order. Item two, comments from the public. You can do that now on any item, or you can comment as we go through item by item. You got anything there, Amelia? Anything?
No hands raised, no chats.
Okay. Tom, item three.
Item three is I want to introduce our new Director of Administration, Paula O'Keefe, to the Finance Committee. I think most of you have met her by now. She's been with us a week. Paula comes to us from most recently with the City of Manteca, where she was the budget officer. And I didn't work with Paula directly at the City of Stockton, but when I was there, she was in the budget office there, and she has a long long and varied public service career, and I'll put something out to staff shortly, and we'll put something in the pipeline this month as well. But she has worked with the state for many years in the corrections area. She wasn't actually in jail. She was working in the finance part of that. And from there, she did public service at the City of Lodi in the financial analysis, worked directly with the chief of police and budget management there. Then she went to Stockton and eventually to this City of Manteca, where recently we opened up our position and she applied out here. Paula's a resident of Lodi, so her commute is not horrible. And she enjoys driving on Highway 16 versus Highway 99. So I want to welcome Paula, and Paula's going to run the finances for us. It's my old position at here when I was hired at the district. And so she'll supervise our finance staff, Mamie and Liz, and the supervisor over accounting and the controller at this time. One of the first things Paula's going to work with us on is taking a look at the organizational structure in finance, because we have both of our primary positions vacant. This is Cindy's last day. So both the accounting supervisor and the controller are vacant positions, and it's the right time to reorganize that. And it's with both positions vacant, and it's needed because we are not getting the applications in for people who can handle this type of workload. So welcome, Paula.
Thank you, Tom.
Okay, any questions?
Okay, we'll move on to item four, the fiscal year 2019-20 annual audit. Tom, you want to do this?
Yeah, so we always try to get the audit done in October, November timeframe, and just the same old variety of reasons, staffing, the complexities of our financial system, and the fact that we have a new auditor on board is just taking a long time to get through the audit. And so we have a couple main things we're trying to accomplish, and then we're going to get to the finalized part of the audit. But we have to reconcile our capital fixed assets. The reserve study fixed assets, and it's very complicated. We have a lot of expensive equipment that helps run the district. So we're trying to be, every year we try and refine that list. And because of the focus of the board on fixing our reserves is so high, the fixed asset list is critical that we be accurate with it. And then itemized list of construction in progress by each project. And that's something Cindy's been working on with Paul. Once those items get completed, Richardson and Company will meet with us. They'll provide a draft report, which time we would then make our comments. We would develop the management letter and transmit a letter to prepare the final report, and that we're hoping this comes to the board in May. So we're trying to do our best to be more timely, and it's just clearly a staffing issue. We only have so many people that can do the work. So are there any questions there?
No questions, no hands raised on my side.
Okay.
Move us on up again a little, Amelia.
We'll go back to, that's our only packet item. The rest of it are discussion items.
Okay, go back up to the agenda for us. Okay. Item five, April budget activities. Tom?
Okay, so we're get ready because this year we're proposing to increase the rate significantly for pretty much across the board, but primarily the two biggest increases have to do with trash and with reserves. But we issued our Prop 218 notice on Saturday. It was mailed, which is, I believe, 47 days before the board meeting next week or next in May, which is the first reading of the budget. And the notice to the public is what our rates are being proposed for next year and how they're going to affect their monthly bill. And so once the budget is produced as it was on Saturday to the public, there's a 45-day waiting period where people can make comments. And the comments, either protests or positive remarks, need to be, pretty much protests, need to be sent to the district by mail. They can be dropped off in our drop boxes, or they can, people need to put a stamp on it and mail it to us. But the protest letters, that's the format for Prop 218, and that's the state law. So to begin with the schedule, so this is the third point in the schedule of the budget, for the budget this year, and this is a finance committee to discuss where we're at. And then in a couple weeks, we want to set up a budget workshop, preferably with the finance committee, and then kind of go over in greater detail, give Paula a few days to really digest the entirety of the budget and be able to start producing the charts and the explanation for specific increases. And so that in May 4th, when we come back to the board, we hope to have our work completed, or back to the committee on May 4th, have a nearly completed budget with the presentation and the detailed explanation about behind some of the increases and why we made certain decisions and why we need to make these rate increases. And then if necessary, we'll have another board workshop, budget workshop in May. And then of course we do the first hearing of the proposed, introduce the resolution to approve the budget, and we do the first reading of that. And then we also, in at the May 19th board meeting, introduce the ordinance that will then be hopefully approved at the June 16th regular board meeting. And then rate increases and the budget basically goes into effect on July 1. So it's not an aggressive schedule. It's a nice smooth schedule. We're not requesting any special board meetings at this time. And we expect to hit the regularly scheduled board meeting with our budget proposals and our budget presentations and be able to answer questions as we go. Just a little bit of the highlights of what's going on with the budget. The district expenses generally are going up about 7% with no, you know, on their own, just because we negotiated new contract with our union employees, 3.5% increases over the next 3 years. And then a lot of our employees are not at their top of the scale. So as the represented employees hit their annual evaluations, if they're doing a good job, they get an additional 5%. So if you're relatively new to the district and over the next 3 years and you're doing a good job, you'll get an 8.5% increase each of those years. And we have to absorb those in the budget. And we also have to recognize our staff is critical to our successful operation of delivering water and providing security to our ratepayers. So that's part of it. We've increased the raw water rate, and we only have a couple raw water rate customers, but it's a rate that hasn't been increased in many, many years. So it's taking into consideration the conveyance of water down the CIA ditch and the cost of water to be delivered in the raw water fashion for primarily it's the irrigation water for the RMA. And the rate increase is based upon the raw water study we did with ClearSource last, approved by the board, I believe it was last May. Another very significant increase is the increase in reserves. I believe the number is $13.49 per ratepayer per month. And that is the first time we've increased reserves, I believe, in the last 4 years. And I want to emphasize that the reserve stability is the number one goal of this board. And so What we're doing is we're working with Association Reserves very diligently to do a very clean reserve study. They've given us our draft. And I believe we're about halfway. And I think next year you're going to see another significant increase in reserve contributions. So try to spread this over a couple of years and try to get it to where we understand on a rolling five-year basis what our reserve requirements are going to be for the next 5 years and make sure that we have money in the reserve accounts to meet those requirements. If we don't have reserve funds available, well, we're going to have to borrow money. We're going to have to issue another bond at some point in time. We have some big expenditures in front of us with the wastewater treatment plant, with the tertiary treatment facility, as well as everybody knows we're going to have to do something about Laguna Joaquin in the near future. And our drainage reserve account is very minimal. So we're going to have to find a way to put money in there. We're also talking about, as part of this reserve study, as part of bringing Paula on board, is getting our ability to take a look at the, we're calling it retained revenues from the last three or four fiscal years. And we'll take a good look at how much money we collected in excess of how much money we spent, and take an action to move those funds into the various reserve accounts where we see that the need is the greatest. And that'll give us an opportunity to help put some money into the drainage reserve account to take care of Laguna Joaquin either this year or next year. We also, because of the there's a lot of discussion right now, excuse me, there's a lot of discussion right now about the potential for a drought over the next few years. So in an attempt to spark conservation, the primary increase in the water rate was to the water use rate. And we're proposing to increase the use of water by 30% from $1.91 per 100 cubic feet to $2.42 per 100, or $2.30 per 100 cubic feet. So the rate for the residential water meter is proposed to go up 15%, and the rate for the water usage is supposed to go up 20.4%. Sewer, again, we didn't raise rates last year, so sewer is going to require a big chunk of an increase because these funds have to be self-sufficient. So the cost of providing water, the cost of treating wastewater needs to be paid for directly from the ratepayers at the amount that it costs. So sewer gets an increase this year. And as you recall, we changed the administrative allocation between sewer and security as part of a cost allocation rate study we did last year with ClearSource. And so this year we have to make up for sewer being underfunded. And then are there any questions yet? Another major increase is our trash rate. Jack has told us that their rates are going up, and so they have to pass that cost on to us. So your average cost of a 64-gallon container is going from, your cost of a 64-gallon container is going from $22.81 to $27.82, or a 22% increase. And we are just a pass-through. So they send us a bill, and we pay it, we charge the ratepayers, and we collect the funds, and the cycle goes monthly. So that's a pretty significant increase. And then the other two increases are the max amount we can charge for security and drainage, which is an increase of 2%. So security for the residences behind the gates goes from $30.32 to $30.93. And for outside the gates, the village and Murrieta Gardens too, it goes from $5.32 we're estimating a 32-gallon, do I have the right? It goes from, no, the 30, we, most of the people outside of the gates are using 38-gallon containers. So the rate for those have gone up 18.6%, or $21.03 to $23.40. And that is kind of the budget as I have presented it to the board last week. And it's the budget we're going to talk about for the next 45 days. I want to stress, last year we received 26 letters of protest mostly focused on the fact that in the middle of a pandemic, why are we raising rates? So I think it was, you know, in hindsight, who could have guessed it would have gone on this long? But I think we did the right thing by scaling back our increases last year, but that comes at a cost of we need to make up for it this year. So I'm expecting to have a few more than 26 letters, but I believe the board is on solid ground in focusing on reserves and focusing on making sure that water and sewer are paying for themselves. And again, we end up with almost the identical amount of property taxes going to fund security as we did budget for this current fiscal year. And last but not least is a statement, this is a budget. So this is what, if everything goes as perfectly planned, that if all our positions are filled and nobody retires or nobody goes and we have vacancies for a while, or we don't have an influx where we have to spend a ton of money on treating manganese, or, you know, if there is a drought, we might have to run our 500 horsepower pumps to fill up our reservoirs in 2 months instead of a, you know, 4 or 5 month period. So you never know what's going to come next. But in this case, this is where we're at. And the protest letters need to come to us in the mail. They can't come in the form of a text and they can't come in the form of an email. The state law requires it to be mailed to us. I'm ready to field questions if there's any.
You have anything, Amelia?
I don't have any hands raised or any chats.
Okay, that Tom, I think that was a great analysis. I really don't have any questions. The only comment I have as it relates to solid waste is we did do a comparison against the competition, which is essentially the county of Sacramento. We started out with a better deal. It appears that they are going to pass along exactly the same amount of fees as Jack has told us that he requires. So, I mean, it's still a way better deal. Unfortunately, it's a big increase and it's really out of his hands. And as a result, it's out of ours. Marty, do you have anything to add?
I do. When we have this budget workshop, could you somehow give us some sort of analysis of what your strategy is on the reserves increases, what you want to put into each a one-time part you want to put into the reserves, and what you think the increases are going to be over the next 5 years or so, and what target you're aiming for with regard to the percent funded?
Yes. The answer to your question is yes. That's okay. Exactly. And I've talked to each of the board members individually in greater detail on the reserves. And that is the goal, Martin, to give the board the opportunity to make a selection as to how much do we want to be reserved. You know, some cities, and I say cities because I have more familiarity with city budgeting, and I could maybe ask Paula to jump in on this if she's prepared, but some of them are reserved to like 30-40%. Some are even worse. We have one reserve account, I think it's drainage, that's reserved to like 0.5%. But you know, we need to come up with the target number. And you know, is it 60%, is it 80%? I don't think anybody's reserved at 100%. And then basically you look at your fixed assets as a whole, and we have, I think our fixed asset list has like 500 items on it. And then you determine when you want to replace those items. And here's a for instance, you know, the reserve company thinks we need to replace the cabinets in our kitchen every 20 years. Well, if you're in the kitchen today, the cabinets don't need to be replaced, and this building's been here for more than 20 years. So we need to be a little bit more realistic about a replacement cycle. And then you figure out how much things cost, and you can look at it on a rolling 5-year period. And I think I shared that spreadsheet that was partly completed that shows you each year how much you're going to spend on reserves if you're going according to your plan. And so that is exactly where we want to get to. Martin, and I think we're on a good place right now. I think we have good momentum on this. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, because there's some choices to be made. So that's something we're going to look at and see what choice we want to make.
Yeah.
There was something in your presentation at our special meeting the other day about an increase in consulting that we're proposing with this budget. I didn't understand it at the time. What is the $70,000 you're going to shift?
The consulting money we used to do a consulting contract, we had two consulting contracts we took out of the general fund budget and we moved them into the reserve expenditure budget. And as I recall, and I'd have to look at last year's budget, and I think I'll be wrong if I say anything, but I think we put the consulting to work on the financial system and possibly even the rate study that has morphed into the opinion poll. I believe we directed those monies to be coming out of reserve accounts versus the general fund account. In general, we spend about $120,000 a year on consulting. And we don't always know exactly what we're going to need consultants help with. But that's kind of the common number. And so we shifted some to reserves last year. We're pulling those we're not going to use reserve money this year to pay for it. We're going to pay for it out of general fund money. And by the time May hits, when we do the budget, we should have a better idea about identifying maybe 50 to 70% of how we expect to spend money on consultants going into next year. And then of course—
You're saying there was a line item in the previous reserve studies that accounted for consultants?
There was not a line item in the reserve study for consulting fees, no.
Then how did we pay it out of reserves?
You pay for it when we issue a purchase order to association reserves. And I can't remember exactly what two items we paid for out of reserves the current fiscal year. But when we issue the purchase order, we use a reserve account. And so when that payment comes, it comes out of the reserve accounts.
I guess the terminology is important here. When you say a reserve account, that's something that's restricted for a particular use. Is that what you're saying?
Not all the reserve accounts are restricted for specific use. There's five reserve accounts that are specific to replacements of water, sewer, drainage, security, equipment. And then there's a non-restricted fund for administrative costs and capital improvements.
That's why I think there was a problem with terminology. When I think of reserves, I think it's restricted, but it's actually just excess revenue we had hanging around, right?
In general, yes. At the end of the day, when we close out a budget year completely, ideally we move retained revenue into reserve accounts, and the board makes that decision.
I see. Then I understand what you're doing. Okay.
Are there any other questions? You see any hands raised, Amelia?
No hands raised, no chats.
Okay, Tom, I guess you're still up here. Next item.
So the security service opinion survey is a big deal, and we're taking it very seriously. So,
Tom, can I stop you? I was still talking about April budget activities. Did that morph into the reserve study and update, or do you have something separate to say about six?
Five did kind of morph into six, didn't it?
It did. It kind of morphed. So I'm not sure if we're still going to chat about that, or I'll just talk about the minutes.
Well, we can talk about, I'll talk about the reserve study. You ready to go to number six, John?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So the reserve study update is quite simply, we've received the first draft from Association Reserves, and we are going through it with a fine-tooth comb over the next couple weeks to set replacement schedules correctly, to remove any items that, for instance, we may never replace, and to, if if there's things that Paul sees that are missing in the reserve study, we can add those. And then we determine what we think the replacement life is going to be. And then that will give us an opportunity to see what our reserve requirements will be every year. And you start off with a big chart that has 30 years in it, but you really focus on, you know, the current year and then up to the next 5 years. And so those are the numbers that we'll have available in the near future. And probably at the next finance committee meeting, we'll be able to give a detailed reserve report. That's a month from now. I expect that to be the case. And any questions?
Nope.
Okay, well, now we can move on.
Thank you.
So the security opinion survey it has a life right now. We're really under no mandate to have this completed by any specific date. At the end of the day, the idea is if it's feasible that the voters want to increase the amount they pay for security, then we're going to recommend that we go back to the voters. And that can be at a special election or it can be at a general election. And if you were to ask me off the top of my head, I think the next general election is June of 22. Mm-hmm. So what's that, 14 months from now? And I don't think we need to focus on that. I think we need to focus on getting the opinion poll out there and seeing what the results are. So the plan is, we've talked about the working groups of working with True North, and we're talking about setting up four or five working groups of, you know, between 10 and 12 people on each group. And each group will have a variety of ratepayers. You know, this is the recommendation of the company True North, that every group have people from, you know, different walks of the community. And so there's a mixture in each group. But there has been additional discussion about larger workshops or town hall type meetings. And I'm really kind of focusing on that as a really good option. Try to set up maybe a couple town hall meetings to discuss in a more open environment, not with the opinion poll people necessarily present. You know, we'll invite them to pay attention, but I think this will be on us to do, to hold these a couple workshops and let more people at the same time give us their thoughts and their dreams of how they want to see security going forward. And to that end, I've asked Tina Talamantes, who works with us currently as the interim security supervisor, to kind of spearhead this group or this effort. And, you know, regardless of whether or not she's working directly with security or if we've hired a security supervisor, Tina has agreed to stay on with us and help spearhead the opinion poll. And she's the perfect person for it. She understands how government works. She understands more than almost anyone else at this point in time how security operates and what the needs of the district are. And being, she's more tied to the community than our security chief has been, and our security supervisor admin has been in quite some time. So I think she's going to do a great job of kind of being the face of the district as we push forward this initiative, or the face of district admin as we push this forward. So I would hope, we're talking to True North at 2:00 today, and I would hope out of that we get sort of an idea about when we want to hold the workshops, and I'm interested in your guys' comments on this, and when we want to start setting up the work groups and setting up the formalized process that we're going to go to, maybe come up with a schedule. And just know that if we decide to run a special election, it's probably going to cost us about $175,000. So we don't want to be wrong. And that's what the opinion poll will weed out. Is there, if there's a rate increase of any kind, will 66.7% plus one of the voters vote yes? Versus, are we ever going to get people to agree to raise rates? So I'm looking forward to getting this ball rolling. I'm looking forward to Tina's involvement in this. Are there any questions? I'd really love to hear some dialogue on this.
Tom, it's John. I just wanted to concur in the in your analysis of having public meetings. I've been in favor of that since we first discussed this. I want to make sure everybody's voice is heard, and I think it's important, like we were talking about in the budget, to understand that we are again this year going to allocate the same amount of our property tax resources to security as we did last year. Ultimately, the idea here from a financial standpoint is to make that requirement go away. We have, like we talked about in reserves, $50 million worth of assets that over the long term we have to protect and replace. And that money is better suited for that. And we have Measure J in place that's supposed to take care of security, and at this point in time is not doing so. So I agree with the process 100% at this point.
I'm not quite clear what the timing of this town hall meeting is versus the focus groups we're proposing.
The town hall meetings were proposed to be in front of the focus group. So hopefully we can have the town hall meetings before the May budget hearing. And hopefully that'll provide some clarity for the budget part of security. But we're going to have a meeting today, and hopefully in the month of April, we can have a couple town hall meetings. Maybe have them when I'm
on vacation. I don't know. Except we have nothing to propose at those meetings.
That's what we're meeting with True North about today, to find out what it is that they would recommend that we start with.
I don't think it's important that we have something to propose that's concurrent with the town hall meetings. There will be 10 different answers from 10 different people as to what the security department ought to look like. And I think we get an appreciation for those opinions up front that helps steer the rest of the opinion poll. But I don't see a direct connect with the two, but I also do feel that it's really important that we do both.
Well, I'm just wondering if it's more important to do before or after we and meet with the focus groups and figure out which alternatives are even reasonable. But if it's just to tell us what level of service they want, it's fine, but they can't make an informed choice unless they know what the costs are. And I don't think we're ready to give them costs at this town hall meeting, are we?
I'm not sure, Martin. I'm going to work with Tina and Paula, but I think, you know, the budget you see today for security is basically the minimum staffing that we're required to provide under Measure J.
And have we ever figured that out, if that's really true, that we're required to provide those services?
Yes, it's very clear.
I don't think so when I read it. So has the attorney weighed in on that?
I can ask him to, but I will ask him to. But my reference point is the Measure J information. When the voters sat down to choose, yes,
Measure J says we can only use those funds for this. It doesn't say you have to spend the funds. It says you can only use them for that.
Yeah, Marty, this is John. What it does say, though, is it specifically lays out from a staffing standpoint what we're required to do in terms of a number of people, a number of shifts, a number of patrols, a number of gate officers. So in one respect, it really is kind of dictating. By the time you do the things that it lays out, there really isn't a lot of money to do anything else.
I don't see it that way. If we actually did not have the funds, how would we do it?
But that's what the bond measure mandates, is that we do have the funds.
It says you're going to get these funds. You can only spend it on this.
I think that's pretty much what it says. But it also in there, as I remember, lays out shifts and patrols and gates that we operate and the amount of hours we're required to operate them. Is that right, Tom?
Yeah, in the Measure J information, it's two gate officers and one patrol officer, 24/7, 365. That's when you go to vote, there's always a paragraph about what you're voting for, and that's clearly stated in that paragraph under the
Measure J. The other part of that that's really confused me over the years is I assume that the only way we get by propping it up with the property tax is that money comes to us as unrestricted. But I think in spirit, I think it almost violates the intent of the voters back in 97 when they were specifically allocating a special tax to cover a specific function. I really would have a hard time arguing that they anticipated that we would continue to just keep accumulating money and throwing it into security. I'm in a way almost surprised we were never challenged on that, because that was not why they laid it out. And it was that, you know, in the accompanying materials that went to sell it to the residents, it was sold specifically as security. You vote for this and security will not cost you 1 cent more. And certainly over the years, it definitely does that now. Last year, to the tune of about, I believe it was $470,000.
Well, I would think that's key to this whole thing is whether or not it's a mandate to do this, or that you can, it says, shall only be used for these services. It doesn't say you have to spend it. It says it can only be used for that.
We'll get, Martin, I will reach out to Dick Shanahan. He's probably answered the question before, but I'll find out and then I'll ask him again. And the next time we talk about this, I'll have a current definitive answer.
One of the things I'd like to understand too, Tom, going forward from Dick is, suppose hypothetically we just abolish the tax. And in soliciting the opinions of the public, you know, it would really become a budgetary item on how much we wanted to spend for security versus continuing to try to screw around with a budget mandate. With a referendum mandate that down the road may completely change as the demographic or the population changes and they want to do something else. I don't know. It clearly does not do what it was intended to do. So I don't know, unless we start with you have to start with a higher base rate. They started with about $687,000 when they set the budget back in 97, and then they escalated it by 2%. Certainly if we're going to continue this, you'd be in a position where you have to set that base rate budget going forward at a much higher rate in order to fund whatever it is we're trying to do here.
Well, and there is some dialogue out there related to the fact that if you just purely look at what it costs to pay the patrol officers and the gate officers, including their cars and their uniforms and their gas and so on and so forth, that the security tax comes really close to paying for itself. But you have to run an agency. And so that's the issue with the administrative overhead. And before, the district was not really transparent about how much administrative overhead is spent related to security. And that was, if you recall, one of the primary recommendations from the Poon Group was to do a proper cost allocation study. And the district, to my knowledge, has not had before then never done a cost allocation study that's done by a professional organization that does this for agencies who utilize federal grant monies and state grant monies. And most always those grants come with the stipulation that you have an officially approved cost allocation plan. And so we did that, and it aired the fact that security is about a third of the of the efforts of administration, which before it was about 20%. In reality, it's more like 32% of the total budget for administration. So there is dialogue in the amongst some of the ratepayers that, well, Measure J wasn't supposed to pay for administration. Well, you have to run an organization. So running security is as a mandate of the CSD, and we have to properly allocate the cost it takes to run security, because we can't by law take the monies that we're using to run security and put it in the water or the sewer rates, because water and sewer rates are supposed to pay for themselves, not supposed to pay for security. So unfortunately, the cost allocation plan created a bump in the amount of administrative overhead applied to security, but it's the truth. So that's all I can tell you, is this is the truth, and it costs that much to run security. So adding the admin overhead, making it transparent to the public, has created a bit of dialogue about why should security administration costs be charged to security. The answer is that's why. And so in order to meet that requirement to manage security, we have to utilize general purpose property taxes. And this is not unusual. Most cities pay for the majority of their public safety with unrestricted property taxes. It's just at Rancho Marietta, it didn't appear that way for many years. And now that as we grow up and as we mature as a company, we do things like proper cost allocation plans, and we spread the cost of administrative overhead in a legally acceptable manner. So that's, there I go again, sorry.
No, that's fine.
Any more questions?
I concur with the fact that you know, the overhead allocation is what it is. I mean, I went through the history of that, and it pretty much was either 20% or 21.5%, depending on it, what time of the, they were doing it, how they felt about it. And I don't think any more analysis went into it than that. So, you know, it is true. So, okay. Any further on this item, or do we move on to item 8?
I have no hands raised and no chats.
Okay. Staff comments, Tom, anybody, Paul?
I just want to welcome Paula again. And I want to thank Cindy for her service to the district. I think she's done a really great job of helping us stabilize our systems and help move us forward. She hands over a much better set of books to Paula than I walked into 3 years ago. And then again, always Amelia and Mamie, and we have a couple part-timers who are doing real workmanlike effort to help keep the district financially viable. And then Paul and his work with conserving the funds as best we can, but making sure that we're putting it where it belongs. So, and then of course, Tina and her role continues to be valuable to the district. So I'm happy she's here. So those are my comments.
Marty, anything?
No, I forgot to mention Michelle. Thank you, Michelle.
Oh, okay. Yes, Michelle.
Michelle's done all the back work on the security costs.
Marty?
Oh, yeah. Well, it looks like you're on the way to making this budget and reserve study make sense to everybody. So I think we'll just meet again and find out what happens.
I'm good here. I just wanted to mention once again that I don't think it's been properly noticed that last year we came to a decision that we wouldn't raise rates based on the unknown. It was certainly not implied that that would continue to be the case, and unfortunately, you know, by minimizing the increase, we set ourselves up for a larger increase this year. But I was comfortable with that decision then, and I'm comfortable with it now. It's just the way it is. Other than that, anybody else? I hope you enjoyed listening to the roar of the Pacific in my background here.
I enjoyed it.
Well, next time you got to have video.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was afraid. I would have done that for you, but I was afraid I'd blow the thing up. So I didn't. But at any rate, with that, I think we can adjourn. And thanks again, everybody, for your help and for participating.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good week. Bye.
Good week.